I want to read from Psalm 104 this morning. Psalm 104, verse 10. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. John 6, verse 32, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus, we just thank you right now. Just thank you for the bread. I just feel my heart get strengthened in that moment just reading that. Jesus, I just pray that somebody's heart got strengthened in this moment. Bread brings strength. Your word brings strength. It fortifies us. Jesus, the devil wants a foothold. He wants a place in our lives. He wants our heart. But I pray that we would continue to eat the bread. That we would just keep going back to the bread maker that keeps providing day after day, and it's always there. I pray for strength in this room today for every person that came in. Lord, you don't want to beat them up. You want to build them up. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, please come right now. In the places that we felt numb, that we haven't felt anything, in the places where our consciences have been seared, Holy Spirit, let there be a breaking today. Let there be a moment of repentance. Let us turn our hearts back to you. Let us rend our hearts and give everything to you. All in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I feel you. Holy Spirit, you're coming into the room. You're breaking through. Knowing my hands get numb, you're doing something. I can't feel my hands anymore. Holy Spirit, there's people sitting in this room right now that just, they feel like they're outside of their body. I pray right now that you would put them back inside their body. The devil was trying to push them out, and that's why they felt that. They felt that in their minds. They felt like they were outside their body, like they weren't here, like they weren't experiencing anything. They weren't feeling anything. In fact, they were beginning to doubt that you were moving, that you were real, that you could speak. I pray that you would put them back inside their body right now, that you would give them full control, that you would deliver them from the hand of the enemy, that they would know that your power is real, that you move and that you're here today and that you love them. Holy Spirit, I pray that the voice of the world would be silenced. That all the doubts that we've been eating in the world, we'd stop eating that. And that we'd just come back to the bread. That we would just eat the bread of life. Thank you for providing it. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you that you still speak. Thank you that it's living and active and that it's piercing between soul and spirit this morning. And that you're realigning our soul, our flesh, and our spirit, all in submission to your voice. Jesus, thank you for what you're about to repair in people's hearts. There's already been healing that's taken place in this room. There's already been a broken piece in somebody's heart that's starting to be restored because the searing that the devil was trying to do to make us numb, it just got broken and ripped off. And now it hurts, it stings, but there's new flesh being formed. A heart of your spirit is being formed within us, Lord. numbness leave in the name of Jesus. We want to feel what you want us to feel, Lord. We want to believe what you tell us to believe. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 58, verse 9. If you want my notes, you can text Rev Notes, all one word, to 94,000. You can get the scriptures, everything that I'm looking at. Isaiah 58, verse 9. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you'll just take those things away, the yoke, the heavy burden that we keep trying to lay on people, take the yoke away. The yoke's been broken. The oil breaks the yoke. The Holy Spirit breaks the yoke. If you would just take away the yoke from your midst, because you are God's holy and chosen people, you don't have to walk under the yoke of this world anymore. You don't have to walk under the yoke of religion anymore. Take it away. And if you would take away the pointing of the finger, we're so good at this, right? We're so good at looking out, but we never look in. The church does that so well. In this house, we look in before we look out. We look inward before we speak outward. When you lead and love from a place of vulnerability and transparency, let me tell you something. People are going to be able to receive it. But if you're constantly just looking outward and you're never dealing with what God wants to deal with you inwardly, you will not be effective in the ministry that He has called you and created you to. And each and every one of you in here, you've been called and created for ministry. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor and you do it 40 hours a week. It doesn't matter. We're all called to be ministers. It says in His Word in Hebrews, we all minister to each other. In fact, I saw this. I did a wedding yesterday. And for anybody that in our house that gets married, what we have them do for premarital counseling is we have them go through this class. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. There's about 29 of you in this church that are signed up and going through that on Mondays. So I got all these young couples there, and I show up on Monday just to make sure they're all there. Otherwise, I'm not doing your wedding, you little punks, all right? I'm serious, because I care about our church. I care about our people. And I know how good this was for me, how healing it was for me and my wife and our relationship. And so I want this. I want couples to walk into marriage and be healthy and strong and fortified. Because otherwise the devil's going to come after you and you're going to be easy pickings for him. We don't want that in this house. We're building up a strong house. And we're building up strong marriages. Because strong marriages raise strong kids. And that's what we want. God cares. God cares about generation after generation raised in His house to know Him, to love Him, to walk with Him all their days. So we have them go through this. And I show up, and it's great. I pray with them. I encourage them. And I got one of the kids, their wedding is this weekend. And so I show up to do the wedding this weekend. And the guy, I've known a long time. I did youth ministry, and he was this little punk middle school kid, I remember, 15 years ago. And he was cocky and arrogant and fun. And, you know, he's just a good kid. But, man, he was just like this farm boy from Bennington. And he was just tough and stoic. And he's like, men don't cry. He's that kind of guy. And he comes up to me on Friday night for the rehearsal. And there's so many people there, and he's got friends and family. But he comes up to me, and he just starts talking to me. And as he's talking, he like all of a sudden tears start flowing, and he's like, I didn't know what to expect. I showed up at that class on Monday, and they kind of break us into these groups, and I'm sitting with this like a couple of these older ladies, and he starts describing them, and I'm like, I know exactly who those ladies are. And he's like, and we just start talking, and they're just kind of, they're helping me see some things that I hadn't seen before, because they've seen it in their own lives, and they've seen it in their husband's lives, and they start seeing some stuff, and he says, and then we start going through these questions together about whether or not you're healthy spiritually or not, and he's like, I thought I was healthy, and I start going through these questions, and I'm like, I'm a complete wreck. I'm like, brother, we all are, but guess what? He wants to make you better. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal the broken places. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. But man, I love that story, because He used these sweet older ladies to minister to him. I'm sorry he called you older. I know you are young in spirit, ladies. I know who you both are. I won't call you out in front of the whole church because you're young in spirit. All right? But like, it was beautiful because sometimes we don't know we're broken. And we just keep going along and we think this is normal. This isn't normal. You don't have to live life like this. If you're stressed and anxious and worried and mad and you're constantly just like, you're just never in a place of joy and peace that surpasses understanding. Let me tell you something. That's normal for the world. It's not normal for the believer. He wants to heal those broken places. Those places that you've been having a hard time handing over to him to walk in trust. He wants to heal you. And this kid, he told me on Friday, he's like, I'm a workaholic. I was like, yeah, I knew that. He's like, you knew that? I was like, yeah, I knew that, man. Like, it's all you talk about. It's all you do. But let me tell you something. He wants to heal you because he wants you to know that before anything else, you're a son. Before anything else, you're a son. You're a daughter. That's why some people, you know, kind of crack jokes about our men's ministry that I called it Sons of Thunder. It's like, hey, there's a cool Bible verse behind that. But I want men in our church to know that before anything else, before your career, before you're even a husband, before you're a father, before you're a grandpa, you're a son. You're a son to the Father. That's your first identity. Once you get that right, everything else will fall into order. Everything else will fall into place the way God designed. But there's too many of us, as men and women, that we keep trying to find our identity in all these other areas. But let me tell you something. You're getting it out of order because you are a son and you're a daughter to the King before you're anything else. Once you believe that and you start walking in that, then all of a sudden you start to realize the authority that you walk in. And all of a sudden you realize that you are seated in heavenly places because of Christ Jesus in you. And if you don't have that today, if you haven't made that decision, I just want to tell you something. Make that decision. Don't leave here today without saying, I want to make Christ King in my life. I want him to be Lord and Savior. I want to walk with him every day because I want life to the full. Don't leave here today without that. So yeah, Sons of Thunder. It's a sweet Bible verse. Men, I'll explain it more. I'll teach on it tomorrow. Come on. If you're a man, come out tomorrow night. It's going to be fun. We're going to worship. We're going to celebrate. We're going to sit around and talk. We're going to have a great time. Get out there. Verse 10 in Isaiah 58. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Sometimes we just think so much in the flesh. It's like, oh man, I need to do all these good deeds. I need to go out and I need to give food to the poor and I need to do all these things. Let me tell you something. These sweet old ladies, do you know what they were doing on Monday night? They were extending their soul to the hungry. He was hungry. He didn't even know he was hungry, but when he came in there that night, he realized, he started to get a holy hunger within him as he started to realize what was broken and off within him and that he was missing it, that he was missing walking and everything that Jesus had for him. And he started to get hungry for holiness. And he sat down with these two older ladies and they began to just feed him the bread. They just began to encourage him and build him up. Your ministers, everywhere you walk, you can feed the hungry. You might say, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough bread. I can't cook enough. I can't do enough. Stop looking in the physical and look within. Let me tell you something. You got everything you need within you to feed the hungry. In fact, you can give them more than enough. You can give them bread that does not run out. You can give them water that won't leave them thirsty. That's what you're called to do. Extend your soul to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Just your presence will satisfy those who are afflicted. Those who are afflicted by the devil in this world, who the devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy from, let me tell you something. Your presence, because of Christ in you, is going to satisfy the afflicted soul. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Even your darkness, even your darkest moments, it will be as bright as the noonday. You're going to stand out. As you walk with Jesus, you're going to stand out even on your darkest days. People are going to see there's something different about you. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. A spring of water. It's moving water. It's not stagnant water. It's moving water. Like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. That's for you, church. That's for us. You're the repairer of the breach. You're the restorer of streets to dwell in. What's a breach? It's a gap, it's a wall and a barrier or a defense, especially one made by an attacking army. There's an enemy. From the moment we're born, he's trying to make a breach within us. He's trying to attack. He's trying to get through. He's trying to penetrate. He wants, in Ephesians it says, he wants, in the Greek, it's the word is topos. He wants a place in our hearts. One of the easiest ways he does that is through offense, unforgiveness, anger that we don't deal with. If you got that today, I'll just tell you right now, just write it down. Who's that person that you're still mad at? Who are you still angry with? Who are you still bitter towards? And just write that person down and just start to pray blessings for that person. And the breach will begin the repair. He wants to restore the breach. He wants to restore the place where the enemy's gotten a foothold within you, and he wants to excommunicate the enemy from your life. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't walk in offense. Don't walk in bitterness. Don't walk in unforgiveness. Begin to pray blessings. How do you pray blessings for somebody? Just begin to pray for them the things you desire for your life, for your family, for your relationships, for your kids. What do you desire? Begin to pray it for that person, for your enemy, for the person that you hate the most right now, for the person that you walked in here and you're like, if I saw them in church, I'd walk out. I'd tell the pastor, you need to tell that person they can't be here. Start praying for that person. Start praying blessings for that person. Begin to repair the breach. That's what we're called to. That's our ministry, to repair the breach. First, it starts inward. You can't help anybody until you begin to walk it out in your own life. You can't just go around looking at everybody else's gap in their wall, everybody else's breach, every other place that the enemy's gotten a foothold in somebody else's life. You can't help anybody until you begin to walk it out in your own life. And let the Holy Spirit do a work within you. Now, as he begins to do a work within you, let me tell you something. You're going to be able to minister from that place. And you're going to be able to provide bread for the hungry. You're going to be able to provide for the afflicted soul. But you have to walk it out daily. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the breach. That's what he does. This week, in the last year, I've had to disconnect our dishwasher. What am I up to? I don't know. 5 times? Dishwashers. It's been a year for dishwashers. The first time, kind of looked at it, and I got an estimate on what it'd be to have somebody come out and fix it, and I was like, might as well just buy a new dishwasher. So we buy a new dishwasher. It's pretty good for a few months, and then not even a year in, all of a sudden, I start seeing water coming out. We got a breach. We've been breached. And I start seeing water come out in our kitchen, and I'm like, Lord, we just did this. Why are we doing this again? And the one before, I had to keep pulling out and pulling out. And every time I had to unhook hoses and like I was getting clothes hangers, trying to find like where these jams are and figure out what is in my dishwasher that's causing it to leak or causing it to do all these things that it's not supposed to do. It's just supposed to clean dishes. It's not supposed to clean my floor. All right? It just kept doing it. And finally, it did it again this week, and I was just broken. Like, I was like, I have unhooked and messed with a dishwasher too many times. In fact, this one, I had just, the new one, I just gave it away. I gave it away to our worship pastor, Andrew. I said, it's cracked on the bottom. You're good at fixing things. You might want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I found another one on Facebook Marketplace. I'm just going to try that. He's like, okay. He told me this week, he was like, you're going to hate this, but it was like $7 and I got it fixed. And I was like, I don't hate it. I love it because I knew you're designed that way. I was trying to do that. I was trying, but it had me down and out. And I just was so discouraged. And I just like, and this time, this week, I open it up and it's not leaking out the bottom this time, but there's just water sitting in there. And I'm like, I'm done. And I just close it up. I'm like, I'm not dealing with this right now. I don't want to deal with this right now. I'm sick of it. I've dealt with it too many times in the past year. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm like, I'm just going to clean these dishes by hand. Really, Steph did it the first night. She cleaned them by hand the first night. But then I was like, I can do this. I can do this the rest of my life. I don't need a dishwasher. But I just kept letting that water sit in there. Some of you are like, that's gross. It is. It got really gross. Because I didn't want to deal with it, and I was mad, and I was ticked, and I was angry that here it was again. I was sick of dealing with it, and I was tired, and I was done. And so I just ignored it, and I just let it sit there in our house. And I just kept trying to do everything by hand, out of my own power, out of my own strength. One day, Steph comes in. I'd been there all day. She's like, do you smell that? I'm like, smell what? I don't smell anything. She's like, I think our dishwasher kind of stinks. I'm like, I'm not ready to fix it yet. She's like, okay. She knows. I've been doing this for a year, and I'm frustrated, and I'm tired of trying to fix this thing or try to buy a new one. I'm tired of dealing with it. And so she's very kind and patient and very nice, and she's like, okay, but it stinks. I'm like, I don't want to deal with it yet. And finally, like, I go out, like, the next day, and I'm gone for a while, and I come home. And finally, when I come home, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can smell it now. It's bad. It's terrible. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like, in the New King James, it says cancer, but actually that word, when you look at it in the Greek, it's more like gangrene is what it's describing. It will spread like gangrene. Do you know much about gangrene? It's a dangerous, deadly health problem. Happens when the blood flow to an area or of tissue is cut off. It causes the tissue to break down and die. It turns the affected skin a greenish-black color. There's swelling. There's pain or loss of sensation. You start to get numb in that area. There's sores. There's blisters that bleed and produce a foul-smelling pus. The earlier it's treated, the better chance for recovery. If I just would have dealt with that dishwasher the first day, it would have been a lot better. It would have been a lot better for everyone. If I would just deal with that sin right away, if I wouldn't just let it fester, if I just wouldn't let it sit there and just kind of hide it and ignore it, let me tell you something. There's healing he wants to do, but we just keep stuffing it down. And we just keep ignoring it. Because we don't want to deal with it. Because we thought we dealt with it before. We don't want to deal with it again. And we're a little embarrassed that we have to deal with it again. But let me tell you something. There's just freedom in this house. And when you confess, there's freedom that happens. When you bring it into the light, there's freedom that happens. There's healing that takes place. So finally, I pulled that stupid dishwasher out. And I tipped it on its side, and I start kind of pulling things aside, and I'm just expecting the worst. I'm like, it's probably broken again. I'm going to have to buy a new one. And I take this hose off where I know like the clog is happening, and there's no water flowing. And the water had just become stagnant. It was just sitting there because it couldn't flow anymore. And I start shaking this stupid hose, and all of a sudden, out pops, this is an eraser from a mechanical pencil. It was that small. It was that tiny, this little thing. And so I'm like, all right, good, the hose is clear. But then I'm like, I'm checking the engine, and I'm like, there's something in there that feels like it shouldn't be there. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal to me, is there something here that shouldn't be here? And let me tell you something, he's going to show you. But sometimes it means getting messy. Sometimes it means dealing with the smell. You can't ignore it anymore. You have to acknowledge it, and you have to deal with it. He just wants to deal with it so he can set you free. And so I put my hand in there, and I'm prodding at it, and it's gross. It's disgusting. There's been stagnant water sitting in this whole thing. And all of a sudden, you know, when you buy a water bottle and you get a straw that's too long, you got to cut the straw. I guess one of my kids thought this little cut piece of straw needed to be cleaned. And they put that in the dishwasher. And it was lodged up right there in the engine. And so no water was flowing. It can be just something so small like that. And you just keep ignoring it and acting like everything's fine. But let me tell you something. If you don't deal with it, the water stops moving, and the water grows stagnant, and the water starts to stink. And that water, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not living water anymore. It's not flowing water anymore. It's not from Him. That's religious water right there. Religious water stinks. It smells terrible. It's a lie from the devil. It kind of, you're like, oh, it's fine. It's all good. No, no, no. It's been sitting there for a week. It reeks. You don't want anything to do with that water. That was the Pharisees' water. Because they were always looking outward, and they were never dealing with what God wanted to deal with inward. He wants to repair the breach where the enemy got in, where the enemy just got something small in behind the defenses. This dishwasher, it's got a good filter on it. It's got a good wall. But let me tell you something. There's just like a small little like hole, and it just takes something small to get in there. That's what the devil does. He just gets a foothold in with something tiny in your life, and you just excuse it away, and you're like, it's not that big of a deal. It'll never happen again. I'll never do it again. I'll never go back to it again. But like a dog returns to its vomit, we just keep going back and back until we bring it out into the light, and we deal with it. Yeah, he just wants to heal today. He just wants to heal you. He doesn't want to beat you up. He wants to build you up. It might be something that you thought you had dealt with, that you thought you'd gotten free from. And all of a sudden, the devil, he's crafty. You might have shut one door that he was coming in through. You might have shut the window that he was getting entrance into your house, into your temple. But he'll look for new ways. Don't be ashamed when he gets that foothold in there. Bring it out into the light. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I just kept going worst case scenario with my dishwasher this week. I was like, this is the worst. This is, everything's falling off. This is terrible. I'm going to have to buy another new one. But when I actually just like looked at it and dealt with it and just shined a light in there to see what the problem was, it was small. It was tiny. And the problem was removed. And all of a sudden, the dishwasher, it started flowing again and working again. And so everything I'd been doing that week, trying to strive out of my own power, to clean everything out of my own power, my own strength, all of a sudden, I didn't have to do that anymore because the water was flowing. And so there's some of you in here, if you feel like that, like you've just been striving and working and just grinding away, let me just tell you, just invite the Holy Spirit in today. Just invite the waters to run again. It starts with confession. Confess your sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. My dishwasher, it's running again. It's cleaning the dishes the way it's supposed to again. But sometimes in our head, we start going through these worst case scenarios and we're like, no, I can never tell anybody about this. I can't bring this out into the light. It's too embarrassing. It's too dark. It's too shameful. And I'm just telling you, there's just power and freedom and healing in confession today. If you need that for your life today, our ministry team, they'll be up here. If you just need to bring something that's been in the dark, if you just need to bring it into the light, just do that. Find somebody. Ask for prayer today. Ask for healing. Otherwise, what does it do? It spreads. And it just keeps going and going. You're preaching today. Worship team, I'll invite you up as we get ready to close. We get really caught up sometimes looking for other people's red flags. They're messed up. They're not doing this right. They're doing this wrong. We get really caught up sometimes looking at other people's red flags. I just want to challenge us today. Just look inward and just ask the Holy Spirit, are there any red flags within me? Is there any stagnant water? Is there any place where the water is not running like it should be? Where I'm just doing things out of my own power and my own will and my own strength, and I'm not trusting in you, and I'm not walking out the process that you've laid out for me in your word, that I'm not eating from your word, I'm eating from the world. Just ask him, and he'll reveal it to you today. Stagnant water, it turns religious. I think of when we were going through the Pit series this summer. We talked about Eli, who was a priest in the temple. We talked about his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 13, says, Hannah came to the temple to pray. She was praying for a baby. Verse 13, now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. He calls her out. He yells at her. He comes over and he just points the finger at her. But if you go on there, 1 Samuel 2, verse 22, it talks about his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. It says this, now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. They were stealing from the people. They were stealing the sacrifices meant for God. And that they would lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They would go to church, and the women that were going there for worship, they would go and sleep with the women there. These were his sons, the priests. He didn't point a finger in their face. He didn't yell at them. He didn't condemn them. He didn't do anything like what he did to Hannah. He said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Know, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them." His warning was light to them. He was quick to point out, but he refused to look in. He refused to acknowledge what he had done in raising his sons. He refused to hold them accountable for their actions.